Let's roll.
All right. Well, good day, everybody, and Happy New Year. And I will call the CROG Cost Review Subcommittee for January 23, 2023 to order. And I would ask Karen if she could do the roll call, please.
Morning, John. Morning, everyone. Start with the town of Handover. Avon?
Larry Burrell here.
Berlin? Bloomfield?
John Coleman here.
And Jonathan TC's here.
Bolton? Canton, Columbia? Coventry?
Todd Penny here.
East Granby? East Hartford? East Windsor? Ellington? Enfield?
Donald Nunes here.
Farmington?
Russ Arnold's here.
Glastonbury? Granby? City of Hartford?
Here.
Did someone answer from the City of Hartford?
It was Frank. Frank De La Ripa.
Okay, Frank De La Ripa here.
Thank you. Hebron?
Oh, Mark Moriarty and Rob Trardy are both here.
I'm sorry, who was the second person?
Oh, Rob Trardier.
That's for New Britain.
That's for New Britain.
Yeah. I thought that's what you said.
No, I said Hebron. Manchester. Mansfield.
John Carrington here.
Marlborough.
Oh, Tree.
City of New Britain.
Mark Moriarty, Rob Trider.
Thank you. Plainville.
John Bossy here.
Rocky Hill.
Steve Soblack here.
Simsbury.
Adam Kessler here.
Summers. South Windsor.
Jeff Doolittle here.
Southington.
Annette Turnquist and David Norris both here.
Stafford.
Copperweight here.
Suffield. Tolland. Vernon. West Hartford.
Good morning, Greg Summer.
Weathersfield.
Derek Greger here.
Willington. Windsor.
Bob Jarvis here.
Windsor Locks. Okay, John, you're all set.
Thank you, Karen.
Can I just note Patrice Carson's here from Bolton? Sorry, I missed your question earlier.
Thanks, Patrice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All set, John.
Thanks, Karen. Welcome, everybody. We'll move on to public forum. Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to address the committee? Hearing none, seeing none. We'll move on to adoption of the minutes of the meeting we had on October 11th, 2022. And I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
Larry Burrell, second.
Thank you, Larry. Are there any additions, corrections, deletions? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Donald Nunes.
Well, one at a time and with your name in town, please, so Karen can get it.
Donald Nunes, Enfield.
Thank you, Don.
Doug Wilson, East Hartford.
Thank you, Doug.
Russ Arnold, Farmington.
Thank you, Russ. Any other abstentions? The minutes are approved as distributed. And we'll now move on to the lots of pre-application workshop. Satoria, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. And thank you so much for participating in this workshop. It's a pre-application workshop.
for the lots of solicitation. There was a memo that was included, and you know, we'll go through and we're going to kind of make it a little informal. We did put questions and answers at the end, but if you have a question in between, it's perfectly fine to ask it. So what we want to do is review some of the ratings and also a new cost estimate template. So we're going to start with the ratings. We're going to focus on roadway reconstruction. However, you know, we're going to cover everything, you know, that's on from the selection policy and the ratings from there. And much of this information may be something that you already know, especially those of you, those municipalities that have participated in many lots of solicitations. But I think it's worth reiterating some of the criteria that that we have for the ratings. So we're going to start with the structural improvement, and we're just going to briefly touch on each item. So when you look at that, pavement is pretty self-explanatory, the pavement treatment, the condition of the pavement. Then we go to drainage, that's pretty self-explanatory, and culverts. But the other category in this instructional improvement are also any kind of installation. So if you have an installation of a ramp, if you have an installation of a roundabout, of course, if you have one for sidewalks or multi-use trail, you can also garner points in this category as well. It's not you know, very clear when you look at it. It is clear in the selection policy, but it's not as clear in this particular point category. So I wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. So any kind of installation would also garner points in this category. And then one of the things that we did over the past couple of years, or maybe even just the last solicitation, was we focused on traffic safety. And because of the, you know, the reporting on that with conduct. So I'm gonna turn it over to Roger. He's going to go over some of the traffic safety points and how to obtain some additional, you know, ranking or ratings in that category.
Okay, thanks, Victoria. So our, the second item there, traffic safety and operations, is 21 points. So individually, that's kind of the highest one. We do have it divided into kind of three categories: traffic flow, traffic safety, and traffic geometrics. And in the solicitation ranking, there is a little table that describes these in a little more detail. So traffic flow would be improvements that would increase the level of service and the reduce congestion, improve operations of traffic flow. So that would, each of these would have about 7 points we assign to the traffic flow, the traffic safety, and improvements in geometrics. The traffic safety, of course, we're always aiming to reduce fatalities and reduce serious injury crashes. So if you have an improvement, if your project is located one of the high crash corridors or high crash intersections that's in our regional transportation study, that in and of itself is would get you some points, or and also if there's an improvements that are proven safety countermeasures that would reduce crashes, that would get you the 7 points in the safety category. And then lastly, the geometrics. If there's a geometric deficiency, whether it's a vertical curve, whether it's a steep grade, excessive grade, whether there's poor sight distance, those type of things, then if you have an improvement that would bring those up to current design standards for the design speed and improve the geometrics, that would get you the 7 points in that category for a total of 21. So that briefly is how we look at those. And I'll hand it back over to Satoria to run through the other ones.
Thank you, Roger. Just one of the things I would like to mention for this is that it would be very helpful. I mean, we look through the application and really try to identify each of these categories, but it would also be helpful to have them outlined in the application or a supplemental. So if you mention the flow, the safety, geometrics, as Roger had mentioned before, that would be helpful to us. Not that we're not going to look for it, but it would be helpful just to kind of have it outlined right there in front of us. I'm going to move on to the traffic volume. There's a formula that we use, so that's pretty self-explanatory. However, if you wanted to add any kind of pedestrian or bike ridership, transit ridership, we will also use that information in adding additional rating points for that. So if traffic volume is strictly ADTs, but we will look at the other items as well for any of the projects. Regional significance is pretty self-explanatory. However, there are some items to look for. So we do look for connections of roadways. We look at the type of roadway. We look at any kind of connection to schools or public buildings, any kind of connection to trails, any kind of sidewalk connection. Any of those add to the regional significance besides just being a roadway. So if you outline those or point them out to us, then that is also, helps with the application. Also included in this category is TOD. So if you have any kind of TOD connection or economic development in that roadway area or sidewalk area, then that would be great to point out as well. Additionally, even if it's residential development, that also adds to the significance. So it's not just commercial or economic development. We think of commercial or industry. It can also be residential development as well. So just wanted to mention that as well. I'm gonna move on to environmental. And like we said, if we have any questions, please ask any questions as we go along. For environmental, it's to reduce any kind of environmental impacts for the transportation project or the proposed transportation project. So for example, we've had many projects that, go ahead. Did someone have something? No. Okay, so we've had many projects that reduced environmental impacts after the fact, after they've already been ranked and rated in the design process. So if those could be pointed out or identified beforehand, that would help your standing as well. You're not going to get a lot of points in this category because most of it is environmental justice. But environmental impacts are about 4 or 5 points. I'm sorry, I don't have that in front of me, but I know it's part of this category. So if you had, for example, anything that would reduce stormwater, anything that would recycle pavement, any reclaimed pavement, anything that would promote a natural element, use of permeable sidewalks or any kind of pavement. We also had a project last time that had a cold in place recycling pavement. So any of those types of things, you could garner some points in that category. And as we said, every little bit helps. So even if it's 1 or 2 points, sometimes that could rank your project or your proposal higher than another. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to one of the categories, complete streets, which we feel, besides the safety, could probably could be most missed as far as an opportunity. So I'm going to turn it over to Caitlin.
All right. Hello. So I guess I'll try to stick to, I don't know if now's a good time to just talk about some of the roadway reconstruction stuff or just more generally complete streets, Satoria.
Anything.
But, okay. Both anything. The The world is my oyster right now.
Yes.
All right. So for Complete Streets, specifically for roadway reconstruction, obviously, you can get up to 16 points here. So it's a potentially, you know, like many of these other ones, especially up at the beginning, potentially a good place to earn points. And obviously, you know, as our policy discusses this, but, you know, Complete Streets in one area are not going to be the same in, you know, all areas. So that there is some context specific things that, you know, you need to consider, obviously, and we do as well when we review the applications. And Appendix C of our policy talks about land use and context sensitivity. So there's a little bit of guidance and some examples on that, kind of what we look for. So I wanted to mention that. And then as far as reconstruction specifically, you know, it talks about vulnerable users. So your pedestrian, bicyclists, also other users like young, elderly, so school zones. So you can earn 3 points for pedestrian supportive, 3 points for bicycle supportive, and 2 points for, you know, school zones or senior citizen housing. And then also traffic calming, you can also gain points here as well related to that. And then also for transit users, we have transit supporters for 3 points. And that's kind of the breakdown specifically to Complete Streets. But then just kind of more generally, a couple of things we wanted to touch on when it comes to Complete Streets. And a lot of this ties back to the form, so the Complete Streets exception form, which is not just for exceptions, which I think that's important to note. A couple of things. First, the plan and the narrative, try to make sure that they match. For example, it's a little concerning if we see a narrative that talks about adding bike lanes, but maybe the bike lanes aren't being shown on the plan. So then we don't really know exactly how to rate it. Also some, I think specifically too related to that, sometimes people will call bike lanes when they're actually maybe still a shoulder, which a shoulder, like widening a shoulder is definitely an improvement and you would probably get some points for that. But this also ties back to context and, you know, ADT and, you know, traffic volumes and speeds are going to be important information to capture. And it is required as part of the roadway reconstruction, but it's maybe not required for all of the ones where you can get some Complete Street points. So just keeping that in mind, that that's important context information for us as well. If you have high speeds and high ADT, you know, sharrows or, you know, a small, wider, but still small shoulder isn't necessarily going to be something that awards you the points that you might want it to. I wanted to make sure that I echoed that. So Toria mentioned the ADT and the speeds. And then kind of getting to the form a little specifically, as I said, it's an exception form, but if you're not seeking an exception, there's still that section where you're being asked to fill out information. And it also wants to know basically to summarize the Complete Streets elements that you are including as well. So just to kind of help give us a snapshot, make sure we haven't missed anything. So if you're not seeking an exception, then put your Complete Street elements there. And that is in the description language for filling out the form, but that one often gets missed. And on that note, I'll say that the form, we don't think the form is where it needs to be. We're trying to make edits on that. Oh, Chris is zooming ahead, so I can wait to get to this point. But we're trying to improve the form because specifically, I don't think it's very clear right now that this is an exception form for all exceptions that you're seeking. So you're seeking an exception for bike and or ped and or transit. And then these are all of the related rationales that you could be requesting related to any one of those three. So if you're not providing transit, you should be, or transit supportive, you know, elements, you should be saying that you're seeking a transit exception. And if there's no transit service, clearly then we would probably be granting that exception. So we're working on fixing the form because it's not as clear and comprehensive, I think, as it needs to be. So I think that's really confused some folks. If it was one person filling out the form incorrectly, okay, but about 50% of people who've applied have filled out the form in some way, shape, or form, usually pretty minor, just a little incorrectly. So we've got work to do on our end for that. But hopefully some of the things that we discussed today will help clarify that. So, and again, there you can see actually under description and evidence, if not seeking an exception, summarize the project's Complete Streets elements. And again, if you are seeking an exception, just clarify each one of the different types of exceptions you're seeking and then all the rationales that would pertain to them. And let's see, I think I had something else on exceptions, but I think what would help too is if you have a plan in your municipality, whether it's a complete streets plan calling out sidewalks, a bike ped plan, sort of, you know, indicating to us that you all have had conversations of where you do want vulnerable user infrastructure to already exist, that would be helpful language to potentially include, especially if you are seeking an exception, because then you can very clearly tell us where to find, you know, the parallel facility, for example, existing parallel facility is one of the exceptions that you can write down. So that's all good information for us. And then just as much detail as you can on the exception form. So specifically, for example, if you're citing something as cost prohibitive, then we need a cost breakdown of what the proposal is versus what the proposal would be if you were to include the vulnerable user, you know, infrastructure, some all or, you know, any mix of those types of facilities. And I think that's for the most part it. And if there has any questions, you know, please feel free to ask. But I think those are some of the things that would really help us help you review your application. And, you know, just, I think we're trying to be, you know, more comprehensive when we think of this compliance form as we go forward. And every year we've kind of dug into it a little bit more. And last year we reached out to a couple of communities where we needed a little bit more information. And that was actually very helpful for all of us. We learned about other efforts that are going on. So it's just all very helpful. And we'll continue to work and improve this form for you guys. Sorry, I think I jumped ahead apparently. So sorry, Chris.
No, that's good, Caitlin, thank you. You know, for example, cost prohibitive would, if there's a maximum for certain projects, you know, for reconstruction, if adding a sidewalk would take you over the maximum, then that would certainly be cost prohibitive. So that would be an easy one to explain. Also, just wanted to mention that vulnerable users are up to half a mile from the project area. So if you have a school that's a half a mile from the project area, then that should also be included because we would want to know that.
Yeah, I'll echo that too. We try to be pretty comprehensive when we review the complete streets. And so we're looking at, you know, Google Maps. And there's been times where we have provided points for folks because there are schools or, you know, other vulnerable users, like Satoria mentioned. So we do award you points, but if you don't want to take the risk of us not finding that, you should definitely include that on your application.
Caitlin, did you want to add anything to the other type of projects, the bicycle or the sidewalk?
Bicycle. So we've got, you know, minor pavement rehabilitation. Do you want me to go on to that? You're on roadway reconstruction. I didn't want to jump out of order too much. But you can potentially award up to 5 points on complete streets items there. Obviously that's a little less comprehensive. We recognize that. So, cause you're mostly sticking to the roadway. So there it's potentially, are you nearing vehicle lanes to accommodate bike lanes? You might get a little bit of points if you're widening a shoulder and making it safer. But again, that is also something that we're going to look at the context for. We don't really maybe want to encourage riding on a roadway if ADT and speeds are too high. So keep that in mind. If you actually are creating a legitimate bike lane, you can get points for that. Installing sidewalks, ADA ramps, you do get some points in the pavement rehab section. And then bike ped and standalone sidewalks, obviously this is kind of a complete street type project. So the majority of the points are very much, you know, number one and number two. So I think that's what 35 points respectively are essentially all related to complete streets and vulnerable users. Actually also you get points for other vulnerable users that are within the vicinity, not just the you know, physical improvements that you're making as well. So I think that's all I would probably have to say on it. I think all the other comments, particularly as they relate to the form itself and just making sure that you document well and provide a narrative for us. I think that applies to all of them.
Okay, thank you. Chris, can you just go back to the roadway reconstruction? I just wanted to mention real quickly, anything that's derived from a corridor study, long range transportation plan, any kind of plan that might be within your municipality, you would also receive some points for. You may not receive the full 5 points if it's a certain plan, but you will get some points. If it's a municipal road, 10 points right off the bat, leveraging other finances, you get some points for that. And municipalities that have not secured lots of funding. If you've never gotten a project, you'll get an automatic 5 points. If you have no projects in the, you know, in the queue, then or you've just been awarded a project, then we would also give you 5 points for that. So, any questions on any of this that we've gone through, or pretty self-explanatory? Okay, so at this point, we're gonna go forward and go to the cost estimate. So that's Jeff. He's gonna have to share the screen.
So. Yep, good morning, everybody. Jeff Parker with CHA.
All yours, Jeff.
Thank you. Is it sharing? Can you guys see my?
Yes.
All right, excellent. Starting off on the right foot. All right, so thank you, Satoria. I just wanted to talk specifically about the cost estimating aspects of your lots of applications and touch on really two things. One is the current template for the 2023 solicitation, and also the unit pricing guidelines that we've prepared as part of the part of the estimating information. So the first thing I want to talk about here is the template itself. And we want to be sure when you are preparing your application and the estimate for your application that you're using the current template. So it's this template is clearly labeled 2023 CROG solicitation. We want to be sure you're using that because it has all of the current assumptions built into it. That we'll talk about in a minute. The template itself is set up for you to populate all of the cells that are shaded in green. So as you start at the top, it's a proposed project name in your town. And you can see in the top section here, there are places for quantities. We have an area for major item takeoffs. We have a section down here for inputting percentages for some of the lump sum percentages, as well as putting in dates that'll calculate inflation. And then at the bottom, putting in some costs if you have them as part of your project for rights of way and utilities. So those are the green cells, and that's what you'll be populating. At the top section, you'll use this if you are getting a pavement condition assessment through CROG, or if you are if you have a pavement rehab or pavement reconstruction project for which you do not have a detailed pavement design. So if you don't have a detailed pavement design with all the requisite backup that's required, you'll be selecting a category that best fits the nature of the rehab, the rehabilitation or reconstruction, and putting in your overall pavement area alongside that category. The unit price information that we've built into the spreadsheet is derived from the unit prices tab, and these unit prices come from similar type projects that are that have gone through the lots of program. So these are unit prices that are based off of typical projects that have gone through that for major, for minor rehabilitation, major rehabilitation, as well as full depth reconstruction. So you put your area in here. If you have another type of project, such as a trail project or a size standalone sidewalk project, or a pavement project for which you have a complete pavement design, you'll jump down here to the major items section, and you'll put in the item, your quantity, your unit, your quantity, and unit pricing for all those major items. Typically, that's going to be sidewalk, curbing, drainage, those types of high price items. Down below, this will the major items will automatically tally. The process also includes minor items. So at a concept level or preliminary level, you don't have all of your items identified. So we've assigned a standard or typical minor item percentage of your major items for all those items that you won't quantify at 25%. So that'll calculate based on your major item summary, 25% of that will give you your minor items. Down below, the typical lump sum items that we have on these projects, clearing and grubbing, maintenance, protection of traffic, mobilization and project closeout, and construction surveying. You can enter in the percentage that you think is applicable to your project. The values that are in here are average values for lots of projects that were constructed or that were bid last year in 2022. What we show is the typical lots of range for these types of items. So for example, clearing and grubbing, we see a typical range of 0.5% all the way up to 8%, depending on the type of projects. We provided this information here for your use along with the average values. So you can kind of gauge based on the type of project you have where you might fall within that range and input a representative value. So these percentages will be applied to this line C here, which is a sum of your major and minor contract items. Those values will populate and sum up, and it'll give you your contract subtotal. The next thing you want to do is go down to the dates that are under the inflation cost calculation. You'll want to put in the date of the estimate, so January, February of this year, and what you think will be the anticipated bid date based on the complexity of the project, and if you are selected, when you think it might go to bid. The inflation is input here as 5%, and that is based on the guidelines that CONDOT is currently providing for inflation, and that was updated last year during the period of high inflation. So this is actually up higher than it was previously for applications. I think it was 3.5%, is now 5%. So the inflation on your, as a function of your cost estimate will be updated automatically based on the dates you input. So all that summarizes below under your project cost summary. Contingencies will be calculated automatically. Incidentals will be calculated automatically. Both of those are 10% per the program guidelines. You'll wanna enter in rights of way costs. That's if you're gonna have them reimbursed through the program. And that'll just be, at this point, it'll be an estimate of what you think the right-of-way impacts and acquisition costs would be. And then if you have utility adjustments that are gonna be done by others and that are participating under the LOTSA program, you can estimate those costs and put them in here as well. If those utility costs are gonna be done by, or those utility adjustments, if they're for a municipal utility, are gonna be done by the contractor, those costs can be quantified under the major items, or they're typically a small value that we caption under the minor items subtotal. So those are the highlights of the estimating template. Does anybody have any questions on that? No? Okay. So the other thing we wanted to talk about is just the unit prices. And we're encouraging everyone to use for when you insert your major items here, to use the unit prices that we're providing as the second tab to this workbook. So we have the template here and then another tab with the unit prices guide. And what we provide for you are essentially the recommendations for unit prices for standard DOT items. So these would be items that are based on the Form 818 standard specifications. Certainly if you are using town specifications that aren't exactly, don't exactly include the same work as a correlating DOT item, your unit price may be up or down based on the guidance we're providing you. But if you are using the standard DOT pay items, we recommend you use the unit pricing for those items. They don't populate automatically. So if you put in the item number here and the item description, it doesn't automatically put the unit price in for you from this lookup or as a lookup from this table. So we do leave it to your discretion to select the correct unit price or insert an appropriate unit price. The only thing I want to say about the unit pricing really is that it's based on three components. We've taken 2022 lots of bid data for 10 different projects, really representative of a variety of project types. We had a number of rehab projects, reconstruction projects, a couple of trail projects, a bridge project. These were in Farmington, New Britain, Wethersfield, Newington. So using the actual 2022 bid data for those 10 projects, we derived a weighted unit price based on the quantities for those items across those 10 projects. A weighted unit price is one data point. We also went and looked at what DOT has for their weighted unit pricing from their master bid item list from September 2022. And we also took data from their estimator program that they use for state projects and using their pricing catalog from November 2022, use that as our third data point. So we essentially took the average of the lots of bid data from those 10 projects and the two other DOT data sources, average of those, and then it included a 5% escalation to get from the 2022 unit pricing to 2023. And then essentially put in a rounded value, close dollar value based on those three data points and the escalation. So we feel we're pretty confident in these unit prices and that they're representative of major items and the bid prices that we're receiving for those major items for projects that are part of the program and projects through Connecticut DOT. So I think unless there's questions on either the template or the unit pricing, Satori, I think that those are the highlights. So if we have questions, I'll be happy to answer that. If not, we're all set.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Satori, Steve Soblack, Rocky Hill, I have a question. Sure. Do you have sidewalk components in that list right. also?
We do. So that's a good question. We have individual pay items for some of the major pavement type items. So HMA, PMA, tack coat, milling. We also have earthwork unit pricing, and it's broken up based on quantities, drainage items, some of the other incidentals, guardrail, as well as the other items here, sidewalk, curbing, sidewalk ramps, you can see them here, even concrete pavers, detectable warning surface. So we try to cover most of the major items that we see used on the lots of projects.
Thank you.
Sure. We also, I'll just say this one thing. There's also a link here in the spreadsheet to DOT's 2022 estimating guidelines. And when you click the link from the webpage, it does go to those guidelines, and we just provided the page numbers here. So if you have a bridge project or bridge items or retaining wall or signalization items, we don't include all those within the spreadsheet, but there is guidance within DOT's guidelines for items in each of those categories. And then the notes down below, we also detail which items, which of the major items are included under each of the pavement categories. So category three, for example, if you scroll down here, major rehabilitation unit pricing is based on peel and pave type treatment and accounts for pavement removal, the PMA or HMA, material transfer vehicle, and tack coat items. So if you did something in addition to that, such as curbing or some minor widening with a box out, you would itemize those items separately in addition to your cost per square yard for your pavement rehabilitation category. Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Any other questions on anything? Okay. We just wanted to try to be as helpful as we can to assist the towns in their lots of applications. If there's any other questions, you're welcome to contact us directly too.
Is that it, Satoria?
That's it, John.
Any other questions, comments on the pre-app? Well, thank you very much, team. I think it was very informative. Hopefully it will be useful to all the applicants. And the only other business is to indicate that our next cost review subcommittee meeting is scheduled for February 14th. Don't know what whether it'll be 11 or 11:30. Staff will certainly let us know. And I guess until then, a motion to adjourn, and we'll reconvene as the Transportation Committee in about 18 minutes.
So moved to adjourn.
Thank Patrice you. Carson. Is there a second?
Second, Rob Trottier.
Thank you both. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Same?
Aye.
Can we just stay on here and mute ourselves, or do we have sure. to log back in?
Yeah, if we'll be using this same Zoom room for the noon meeting, so if you want to just stick yourself on mute, you're welcome to hang out. We're going to leave it open.
Great. Thanks.
Great. See you at noon. Thank you all.
Thanks.